Just down the street from Friendly Liquors in the Bayview neighborhood of San Francisco, I'm Schmitty, and this is Talkin' Schmidt. Today, I talk to Noel Fiore. Noel is a good friend of mine who has an enormous amount of love for dogs and works as a volunteer at Sacramento shelter Pets Alive. She's been playing music for many years and recently started her own band, Noel and the Deserters.
It's a honky-tonk kind of outlaw country band. My husband Jerry is the drummer. I was always super blocked thinking that I wasn't a songwriter, because I was just nervous and shy that I didn't have enough to say or that it had already all been said. But I sat down with myself one day and I'm like, you know what, if you're ever going to do it, it has to be now.
Also, I really need to give a big shout out to Sonoma Originals.
Shout out.
Who over the weekend became the first shop to carry my merch. Big love, Jordan. If you're interested in carrying any gear, email me at talkinschmidt@gmail.com. And if you can't make it to Sonoma, visit our website, talkinschmidt.com. Okay, enough of the plugs. Here's the show.
This is Noel, and you're listening to Talking Schmidt.
Just give it the old college try, right?
All big dogs in.
Schmitty! What do you think, Schmitty?
96 times Schmitty.
Thanks, Schmitty.
We on? Schmitty?
Talking Schmidt.
You're so fucking bitchin'.
The cherry popper.
I be shit my pants, lad.
Your Rolodex is fucking deep.
Are you ready?
Come on, Smith.
I'm here for Greg Smith.
Yeah! All right, hello, everybody. I did it. She's here. Tell them what your name is.
Hi, Schmitty. Hi, everyone. This is Noel. You finally snagged down a time with me. Sorry I played so hard to get.
We had headaches. We've had my vacations, broken kingpins. There's been all kinds of things.
Many vacations.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How are you?
I'm good.
It's great to see you. You're only the second person in the Misery Studios here.
Oh, really?
Yeah, at the home plant here.
I feel like it's really cozy here.
Yeah. Toad was the other one, so you're in good company.
Oh, nice.
What's your full name?
Noel Kristen Fiore. It used to be Cahill, but I'm married, so I got a cool new last name.
And you were born where?
I was born in Hollywood, Florida.
Were you raised out there?
I was there until I was about 7.
Okay.
And then I had a real wanderlust mother who loved to travel, so we lived in Florida and then upstate New York for a while. And then Lake Havasu City, Arizona.
Girls gone
terrible
wild.
Place, yeah. Lots of natural ice at the bottom of that lake. And then New Mexico, which is really where I consider that I'm from, because my formative years were there, and I go back there a lot, and I have family, and I love it.
Are you like Albuquerque or Santa Fe?
Taos.
Nice.
Yep.
That's good.
Way up on the mountain.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I went to that Four Corners, like Colorado.
That one I think you're thinking about is Mesa Verde. Yeah, that's Colorado.
Okay.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I love that whole area.
Yeah. I actually also lived in Hawaii for a short while right before I moved here.
Which island?
Maui.
What city?
Kihei.
I like Kihei.
I was 17 and I just moved from New Mexico with a bunch of friends. And I was there for about 8 months. I found a place to live on the beach. I met this Brazilian guy who was selling swimsuits, and he's like, yeah, I got a room to rent. I lived with this guy named Pablo, and I helped him sell swimsuits for a little bit.
Right.
I just surfed every day and worked at a restaurant at night. I had a fake ID, so I went out a lot. It was cool.
How long were you there?
I was there for about 8 months.
You got a favorite beach?
Lahaina. That's where I surfed.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah.
We camped it right outside of Lahaina for like 13 days.
Oh, wow.
Like on a skate trip. They just had built a new skate park in Lahaina.
Mm-hmm.
So we went out right for like the opening and camp. It was
rad.
So fun. Yeah.
What year was that?
That was probably like, shit, maybe like 7 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was there, I think, 2000, and then I moved here 2001.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
What's your relationship with podcasts?
I listen to a lot of them.
Do you?
Yeah. I mean, I've actually taken a little bit of a break because I listen to a lot of Audible audiobooks now.
Same.
But I'm a commuter. I live in Sacramento, and I come to San Francisco to work every week, so I listen to a lot of books, and for a while it was podcasts, but I just took a break until yours came along.
What were some of the ones you like listening to?
Podcasts?
Yeah.
I love the murder podcasts.
Right.
Yeah. My favorite murder is cool. It's not my favorite one, but let's see, Up and Vanished, like the true crime kind of stuff.
Uh-huh.
Up and Vanished is a good one. Sword and Scale, but it's really, really creepy.
Sword and Scale is gnarly.
It's really gnarly. There's some that I just have to turn it off. It's too much for me.
Did you do The Man in the Window?
Uh-uh, I haven't heard that one.
Oh, man, that was hectic.
Really?
Yeah. It's like you're in your room. It looked like somebody was looking at me, and I opened up the blinds, and there was someone there. It's like,
oh, shit.
I love the true crime ones.
Yeah, I do, too. It's obsessive. And then I was listening to the one about the Golden State Killer for a little while. That's so crazy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Whatever happened?
Wait, that's the one.
That's the one?
Yeah, I think so. The Man in the Mirror is the Golden State Killer. It was like from Bakersfield up, right?
Oh, I think I was listening to a different one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's a popular guy.
Yeah, fuck. The Ted Bundy one is crazy.
Yeah, I haven't heard that one yet.
Oh, man.
But Ted Radio Hour is one of my favorite ones. I like that one. It's like Ted Talks, but a lot of Ted Talks on one certain subject that they'll tell a couple of different ones during one podcast. And then I started listening to Young Charlie, the Charlie Manson story.
Oh, I need that.
It's pretty crazy because I just saw that Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
I
Have you seen
too.
It?
I love it.
It was so good.
It was so good.
Who are your favorite characters?
I really like Brad Pitt, actually.
Yes.
You know, I heard that Bruce Lee's family was a little upset.
I heard that, too.
And I get it, but I also get that it's Tarantino, so yeah. I was kind of like,
yeah.
You expect a little...
Absolutely.
We left the movie, and we're like, that's how you should feel leaving a movie. Yeah. This was a great flick.
It was a great, great movie. My favorite character was obviously Brandy. if you know me, you know why. But yeah, he did a really good job. I love... You know, how we turned the story around.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really good.
No spoilers here, but kids, get out there and see it.
You gotta see it. It's super good. Brandy's the best.
Have you listened to some of these podcasts that I do?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
I've listened to a lot of them, actually.
Yeah, Eric Shea?
Eric Shea was great. Mm. I loved that one. He's such an amazing storyteller.
He is.
I mean, him and I have spent a lot of time together through, like, music, and when I used to skate back in the day.
Yeah.
I skated a lot with Eric, and we'd just like pile in his van and go all over the place, the Bay Area. And like, he's just so funny. He tells the best stories.
He does.
Yeah.
He has a really good way of putting things.
He sure does.
When did you get into skateboarding?
Let's see. I was 25.
Was it out here?
It was here. A friend of mine gave me my first skateboard. It was a little Zip Zinger.
Really?
Yeah, and he was like, I was like, yeah, I've always been interested in skateboarding. I pushed around when I was a kid a little bit on the street, but I was always fascinated by it, and I wanted to learn. And I surfed when I was younger, so it just seemed like it would make sense. So he took me to Pacifica, and that was the first skate park I skated. Yeah, and then I was hooked immediately, and I actually... Maybe a couple months after I started skating. I mean, when I get into something, I do it, like, every day until I'm good at it.
Right.
So I did. I went, like, every day. And I went to go get a new skateboard because it was just a tiny little Zip Zinger, you know?
Uh-huh.
And I went into Deluxe, and Matt was working, and he sold me, I think it was an Anti-Hero Cardiel board. And Eric Shea was there, and that's where I met him.
No way.
Yeah.
Whoa.
At Deluxe.
Worlds collide.
And he told me about his band, and then I went to see Hot Lunch at the Knockout, actually.
Hmm.
2005-ish? 6-ish, maybe?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And then we started skateboarding together, and that's how I met a lot of the same folks that we know.
Oh,
mutually.
Really?
Yeah.
Through Eric?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, Hot Lunch is a great band.
Yeah.
Ooh.
They're a really great band.
Yeah.
Yeah, one of my favorite live bands to see from the Bay Area, for sure.
For sure. The drummer is always amazing. Yeah. Like his antics and everything.
He's epic. Actually, my husband used to be in a band with him.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Rob played guitar for that band, Sonic Love Affair.
Really?
SLA. Yeah, my husband's the drummer.
And what did Rob play?
He played guitar.
Oh, mm-hmm. Sick.
Yeah, mm-hmm. he's a really good guitar player, too.
Nice.
Also a maniac in that sense, too.
Yeah. So when your upbringing, like what kind of music were you listening to, like growing up with your mom, or like, you know, when you're younger, what was being played that was out of your control?
That's a really great question. And I feel really fortunate because my mom had incredible taste in music. We had a lot of vinyl. It was all like really great music from the 60s and 70s and even some from the 80s.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, like Big Brother and the Holding Company and the Doors and Van Morrison and the Beatles, the Stones. Like, I grew up on all the classic rock stuff.
Uh-huh.
Bob Seger.
So you had music playing around you a lot.
It was constant. Uh-huh. Yeah. And we traveled a lot. We took a lot of road trips, cross-country drives, and it was always like every classic rock station.
Oh.
Yeah. And when I was growing up, like, my mom was a singer, so I was always singing, too. And I think I got it from her, my grandma, too. But we'd always just sing to all the, you know, songs on the radio. And I have this, like, weird memory for just lyrics. I can remember, like, a lot of lyrics. Right. I have, like, this crazy catalog in my brain. So, yeah. If we go on a road trip ever, I'll sing you all the words to all the classic rock.
I have that same catalog, except for mine are all wrong. So did you start playing music when you were younger? Like, did you take up any instruments or anything?
Oh, yeah. I started playing guitar when I was about 13.
Hmm.
Yeah.
That was your first instrument?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
First and kind of only. I took violin lessons for like a minute. It just never stuck. I didn't have the dedication, concentration for that. Guitar came easily for me, so I just kept up with that. I'm not a shredder by any means, but I've just always played rhythm guitar.
And then when did you like kind of get the confidence to be like, I want to like either play on your own or play in a band, or I don't know what came first?
Well, playing in bands came first, and it's funny because just last year was the first time I will admittedly say that I've got the confidence to start my own thing. It took me a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I've got my own band now, which is awesome. It's really fun. But I started playing in bands like right before I left New Mexico. I took a hiatus for a while. And then my friend Donnell, who I met here, she asked me to play in her band with her. And we did for a couple of years. And we made a record.
Nice.
And I played like dobro. Do you know what that is?
Uh-uh.
It's a guitar that you sit on your lap and you play with a slide.
Oh, yeah.
But it's like a bluegrass kind of an instrument.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I played that, and I played banjo and played guitar too.
And what was the name of that band?
Maribel Phoenix.
Oh.
Yeah.
So that was kind of the first.
Yeah, that was the first like San Francisco band that I played in. And funny enough, we played, I think it's Calyx, the Berkeley radio station.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we played a little live show in Calyx, and we had one caller, and it was Toad.
Yeah.
And he was like, yeah, Noel, Maribel Phoenix, play this one song. And I can't even remember the name of the song, but he was like our biggest fan.
Shout out to Toad.
Shout out, Toad.
Shout out.
And we played like a show at Edinburgh Castle and at the Eagle and stuff, and he came to a couple of them. It was awesome.
Yeah, yeah. Toad's always down to support. He hit me up, actually, because do you have a show coming up?
I did. I play with Shannon Shaw from Shannon and the Clams,
uh-huh.
Her solo band. I play guitar and sing with that band. And we were going to play this little music festival called Rocks in Your Head.
Uh-huh.
Sonny Smith from Sonny and the Sunsets. He's got this record label now.
Oh.
And he put on this show. But unfortunately, the show had to be postponed due to, like, I think it was low ticket sales or something. But it was in Orinda in the theater there. And I tagged Toad. I was like, dude, it's in your neighborhood. You got to come to this. So
yeah, you know. Toad hit me up. He's like, dude, there's a show. I think I can make it. We got to support.
I forgot to tell him that it didn't happen. I'm sure he found out.
No, I did tell him. And then he hit me back. He's like, are you 100% sure?
Aw, sorry, like, buddy.
So is that not going to be rescheduled?
It's going to be rescheduled for October, but I think they're moving it into the city. I know. I was excited to play Arinda. I love Arinda.
Me too.
Yeah.
Apparently Toad does too.
Yeah. That's awesome that he's there.
I know. They got.
I wonder if he has an issue with the leaf blowers.
He has an issue with turkeys.
Wild turkeys. There's this really weird video that's going around online that some of the locals in Arinda made this little like public service announcement sort of documentary where they're trying to get the county or whatever to ban leaf blowers because they're too loud.
Really?
And they're disturbing the peace. And they even have like psychiatrists on there saying that like, oh, it's disturbing to like people's mental health. And have like scientists on there saying, oh, the particles from the leaves.
Is that basically fuck your gardener?
Like, it's fuck your brown gardener because it's like the only one in, you know, the county.
Damn, I wish they would do that to the Uniwheel guys or Uber or something.
I know. God, it's the or the birds.
Yeah.
Oh, God, it's so crazy.
Yeah.
I work in the Castro.
Uh-huh.
And it's so weird just to see how much the city's changed. And I don't want to be, you know, one of the many people who are like, oh, fuck San Francisco, it's changed so much, because I don't even live here anymore, you know. But it's weird because I still work here, and I've was here for a really long time just to see how much it's changed. The Uniwheels.
Yeah.
Like, I actually have patients who come in, like, basically, like, mall grabbing their weird, like, electric skateboards, and I'm all, ooh.
Oh, man.
Silently judging them.
The other day, I hit up my friend Barker, and I was like, hey, I'm losing it. I got in the elevator today, and there was a fucking Uniwheel guy in my fucking elevator. And he's like, I think part of your problem is you have an elevator. I was like, touche.
It's true.
Yeah, yeah. It's interesting. But what's some of the things that you miss about San Francisco? You live in Sacramento or outside of Sac? Or
I live in Sacramento proper. Yeah. Uh-huh. Well, it's certainly not this terrible weather.
You love the hot.
Well, it's really, really hot in Sacramento right now, like too hot, but it's short-lived. It's like a couple months out of the year. But I mean, I'll leave Sacramento and it's like, you know, 80 something, and then I'll get here and it's like 56 degrees and foggy and cold and windy.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's depressing.
Yeah, it's true.
I don't miss it. What do I miss about the city? Mostly, like, a lot of the good music venues. There's so many that have closed or turned into something else.
Mm-hmm.
Like the affordable, cute little mom-and-pop restaurants, you know?
Right.
There's a lot of, like, weird novelty shops now. Like, Valencia Street is basically like Melrose Street. It's really weird because I lived on Valencia Street in a studio apartment when I was 19, and it was like right at the time when Ritual was opening. So I remember like the first few days that they opened the doors, I was like making beignets, and I like brought them over next door. I was like, hi neighbor, welcome to the neighborhood, here's some beignets. They're like, here's some coffee. And I just became friends with people, you know. It was just more neighborhoody and accessible, you know. And it's just weird, like there's stores on Valencia that just sell like four things, you know. But it's sad, but it is, it happens to a lot of metropolises, you know, and it's just the times we live in.
Definitely. How long have you been in Sacramento?
5 years now.
So do you have like favorite, do you have like go-to restaurants?
Oh yeah, there's a lot of good food. It's the farm to fork capital.
Yeah. What's your spot?
I really like Tower Cafe. It's a classic. Okay. It's right inside the Tower Theater, and it's got this really amazing courtyard outside, like overgrown plants, and it's beautiful and it smells nice, and they've got really good food. There's a really good, it's weird, and this sounds kind of douchey saying, but this gluten-free restaurant, but they have really amazing food. It's called Pushkin's.
Hmm.
They have good ramen place called Shoki. Terrible service, amazing ramen. Yeah, great food.
What about, you got a river spot?
Hell yeah. Actually, this weekend, we're doing a float down the American River.
Oh, yep.
Yeah, it's really cool. I did it a few weekends ago for a friend's birthday. We actually just Ubered to the spot.
Uh-huh.
It's that close. and you pump up your floats and you get in the river there, and then you float down 2.5 hours to this cool beach. You can just park your car there. The river moves pretty slow, so it takes a while.
Way.
Yeah, and we just tied all our tubes together and had a little cooler.
Whoa, yeah. What day are you doing that?
Saturday, you want to come?
We're going to go Sunday.
Ah, shit.
Yeah.
Well, you're invited if you want to come early.
Okay.
Yeah.
Rad.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're spending the night in Sac this weekend, I think.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Where are you staying?
I don't know.
Okay.
Some place where there's a guy that does a little sketch of you if, I don't know, he's like a cartoonist or something.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I want to see that.
I don't know. It's a caricature thing or something.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
If you need any restaurant recommendations besides what I told you, like more downtown stuff, I can give you those too. It's going to be hot.
I know. I know. And then 2 weeks after that, we're going to a funeral up there. And I was like, fuck, a funeral in Sac.
Yeah, brutal.
But yeah, it'll be fun. We just got back from Texas. So it's kind of similar, I think.
You're acclimated a little bit.
So getting back to the music thing,
mm-hmm.
after the first band, then what was next after that?
Sweet Chariot. Actually,
with Eric Shea. Really?
Yeah.
How did that happen?
Well, he had been wanting to play something a little bit like slower than Hot Lunch, you know, and he really loves like the Americana style music. So he was working on some songs, and we would always talk about music. So I was like, yeah, let's try and play some music. And I think actually Andreas Trolf got together with us for the first time. He was playing banjo.
No way.
Yeah.
I didn't
it was
know
just
that.
Like one night we got together.
Oh.
It was like jammed at a house party, and I mean, this is how my memory works, but I could be a little bit incorrect about all the details. But and then Eric and I were just like, yeah, this sounds great. We could sing really well together. So we just kept it rolling. And then we found some other people to play music with. Chris Guthridge and Rob from Hot Lunch played drums with us. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
And so you were a part of the Sleepless Nights.
Mm-hmm.
That's the tribute to Graham Parsons.
Yeah. Yeah. That was so fun. I think the first one I played was probably like 2007, I think, with Maribel Phoenix, actually.
Oh.
Yeah. That was such a great show. I hope that Eric continues to do it, but, you know, he's not living here anymore.
Yeah.
But he did that for a long time.
I think he said rest in peace because of the vent. Something happened, I think.
Oh, Great American or Chapel?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe the Great American.
Mm-hmm.
Who owns that? Boss Skaggs or somebody?
Mm-hmm.
He does, right?
I think that and Slim's, too.
Yeah. Toad and I went and saw, I don't know what year, but we
the one with Katie Knox playing bass, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that was on the Trife.
Yeah.
Yep.
What year was that? Do you know?
Let's see. I think it was 2014.
What?
No, band? No. Sorry. I think 2013.
And what was the name of that project?
That was actually just a band that I put together because I wanted to play it and just do my own thing.
Oh, just
yeah.
for that?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
I think at that point, my friend Chris and I were working on something called Sour Flower,
mm-hmm.
which is his project. But for this, I was like, I want to take you guys from Sour Flower, but I want to front it. So it was
right.
a mashup. It was fun.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
That was probably one of the funnest shows I ever played.
That one?
Yeah.
I was there.
Katie was on bass. She was killing it. Yeah. Jesus. My friend Joel Robineau was playing keys. It was really fun.
Toad hit me up to ask you what your favorite genre is.
It's a hard question.
I know.
I don't know, man. I have a lot. Currently, what I'm playing in my personal band, which I'm obsessing over right now, is like honky-tonk and outlaw country.
Uh-huh.
Which I really love. But I love rock and roll. I love soul music. I don't know. That's a hard question, Toad.
Why
come
do you
on.
Have to pick one, right?
Yeah, I don't want to pick one.
I got a couple of this or that's for you.
Okay.
The first one is pointy nose or round nose?
Well, I would say round nose forever, but we were just in Virginia visiting my husband Jerry's mom, and in Charlottesville they have this incredible skate park. It's pretty new and it's really amazing. But I didn't bring my board, and Jerry had his, and he's got the Hot Lunch pointy nose one. And I rode it, and it was amazing. So I don't know. I might have a change of heart.
Well, I was actually talking about humans.
Pointy nose.
Pointy
every
nose.
Every time.
Pool coping or metal coping?
Pool coping all day long.
Chris or Rita? Referring to Christofferson and Coolidge.
Oh, Christofferson. Rita.
Harley or Honda?
Funny you should ask. I have both of them currently. My first motorcycle that I still have is a 1970 Honda CL450 called Baby Bok Choy. She's a little green machine and I love her so much. But she's old and needed a lot of work and I always had to kickstart her and she wasn't super reliable. So in May, I bought a 1200 Sportster Harley and I'm obsessed with it. I love it so much. And I can take it on the freeway and go long distance and go a lot faster.
Yeah.
And it feels a lot more reliable. So I'd have to go with Harley right now, but I love them both. I know, I'm a traitor.
How long have you been riding a motorcycle?
2014, I guess.
Yeah,
so a little bit. I'm not
You feel totally comfortable on
the
freeway?
I feel comfortable now on the freeway with the Sportster. Mm-hmm. I didn't before. I was pretty terrified. But yeah, I feel pretty good about it now.
The last one is Telecaster or SG?
I have both.
Oh.
My first one was the SG that I used to play in my other band, Magic Trick. And it's light. It just feels really good. I love playing it. The action's incredible. The tone is incredible. But for the type of music I'm playing now, the Tele, it's a lot heavier. I actually have this really cool Tele that my friends Nick and Sarah gave me as a wedding present.
Mm-hmm.
It's modeled after the Waylon Jennings Telecaster, so it's wrapped in tooled leather.
Oh.
It's really, really beautiful.
That already sounds cool.
Yeah, it sounds incredible too.
That's like the Madonna Inn of guitars.
Exactly. Yes, it totally is. It sounds amazing. I love it.
What's the difference between a Telecaster and a Stratocaster? A Strat just a... Is it cheaper or just a different
It's a
shape?
Different body shape. Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay. And Teles are just better.
They are.
They okay. are. Well, I guess anyone could argue that, but yeah.
Can we go to a song by maybe Magic, I don't know, one of your older bands?
We can, absolutely.
Let's do it.
All right.
What do we got?
Let's see. You want to do Magic Trick? I Held the Ring is a good one. We can do that one.
And away we go. Shah!
And
Nice.
Thanks, buddy.
Who is all in that?
So that's my friend Tim Cohen's brainchild. He's the singer-songwriter of the Fresh and Onlys. And that's my friend Alicia, who's playing bass and singing backing vocals with me. She's actually the bass player and backup singer from my current band, Noel and the Deserters. And my friend James Kim is on drums. That's pretty much us. We have some people who join us from time to time, but that's the base of our band.
Is that band still playing?
Well, we've taken a long hiatus, but we played a show last year. Yeah. We text each other occasionally when a show comes up, and if we can all make it work, we do.
So how do you think this whole thing's going so far? Are you all right?
Yeah, I'm good.
Yeah.
I was really nervous, but I feel like it's going well. You're easy to talk to.
It's like, we haven't seen each other or talked to each other in a while, but it's like just yesterday.
Exactly. Okay. I like that.
Good.
Yeah.
Let's take a quick time out, hear from some of our peeps, and we'll be right back.
When is someone going to interview you for this?
Funny you should ask. My birthday is in October, and I'm having a trip planned for me that I don't really know. By my girlfriend, Cheryl, who's also the executive director of the show.
Shout out.
Shout out.
Shout out.
Yeah, so she is going to be interviewing me on my birthday on this trip. And I think maybe people can send in questions and she'll pick from some of the best ones. She'll have her own, of course. And I don't know. And if I approve of it, we'll air it.
Oh, the heat is on. I think that's awesome that she's going to be the one interviewing you.
She's really into it. She's my biggest fan. She listens to every episode the day they come out. And then that evening she comes home from work and gives me the strong points and the low points.
The critique.
And yeah, it's great. Cool. It's like a learning process with your partner, which is really rad. And just like you were talking about earlier, I think I obsess about things a lot. Like I'm doing this for the first time and it's every week and I'm just diving into it and really stoked on it. Mm-hmm. So I do catch myself, okay, enough about my podcast. Like, yes, we have other things to do in life, you know. But yeah, it's been cool. So
yeah,
I don't know if anyone really wants to hear me answer questions. But
I want to hear you answer questions. Absolutely. That's awesome. Mm. You've put a lot of work into this. I've listened to a lot of them. It's really good.
Like in this world where everything's so negative and critical, it's really cool to have something because there's no comments under these. It's just like, here's the podcast. Mm-hmm. And nobody can be like, your voice sucks or fuck this or blah, blah, blah. It's like,
listen to it or don't.
Yeah. And I don't care like about your make comments. And it's like first because they're first.
Yeah.
Fuck, I don't care. Did you like it? Maybe I kind of care, but that's about it.
Yeah.
So anyway,
good.
Long story long. What's like one of your all-time favorite places to go on a date in SF? Like, whether it be a location or a restaurant or the park or.
I would say I've been trying to talk Jerry into coming into SF for one night to do this with me, but I love going down to the Embarcadero and going to Hog Island in the ferry building and having oysters and their amazing clam chowder.
That chowder's good.
So good. And just walking around down there and then going to see a movie at the Embarcadero.
Ooh.
One. Yeah.
That's a good 1-2 punch.
Absolutely.
All right.
But, I mean, there's plenty of places, but I'd say that's number one just for experience, for, like, the whole experience, but restaurants for a date. I love Emmy's.
Right next to Blue Plate. Yep. That's Blue Plate on Mission Street.
Shout out. And that used to just be my old hood, you know, when I lived on Kingston Street with Tracy and Halsey and Andreas. And I remember just going to Emmy's all the time. That was my spot. And Blue Plate, for sure.
Yeah, for sure. You know Freddie?
Yeah.
He just moved out of that place.
Oh, really?
Last weekend.
Oh, wow.
I think
Kingston Street's still going strong,
but
huh?
But he was the last.
He was the last.
Of the Mohicans.
Wow.
Yeah.
Crazy.
I know. So many people went through that house.
So many people. So many good times in that house.
Mm. I know for a long time you were working the bar over, what is it, Thieves Tavern or Whiskey Thieves?
Whiskey Thieves. Whiskey yeah. Thieves. I mean, I worked at Thieves Tavern and I worked at the other one, the Blind Cat, for a while too. But Whiskey Thieves was like my bar. Right. Yeah, that I worked at for, gosh, 12 years.
Have you ever served anyone famous?
Jell-O.
Jell-O come in there?
Yeah. But I think I served him at the Casanova, because I worked at Casanova and Hemlock, too. I served Jell-O in the Casanova. And actually, with my good friend Val, we used to bartend together. We had, like, a Monday night shift where we closed the bar, and we just played dad rock the whole night. It was incredible. But Jell-O came in one night, and he wouldn't leave the bar during closing time, so she had to kick him out.
No way.
He was really obnoxious. He's not a good bar patron. Let me think. Anybody else famous? Maybe that I wouldn't have known, but that's like, yeah, mm-hmm. That's the guy.
What about, like, have you ever been, like, scared? Has there ever been, like, some crazy shit that went down in the bar where you were, like, kind of scared that it was going to get, like, ugly?
No, I got really lucky. There were a lot of sketchy things that went down at a lot of the bars that I worked at. But it was always like I had just left, or it was on a night that I wasn't working.
You had the
like
good
I
shifts.
Had a coworker who her ex-boyfriend went totally mental and like came into the bar with a gun, and it was like the night that I was working, but I had left. I mean, I had like some kooks from the street come in and like steal tips off the bar, but that's about it. I actually had one person get super drunk and fall back and crack their head open and had to, you know, get taken away by the ambulance.
That's nothing too crazy. Minor.
Well, I worked mostly happy hour. I had like the princess shift, so yeah, I just like I had all my regulars. I made buckets of money and had a good time as like sitting in my living room. But it took me a while to get there, you know.
Sure.
But.
Are you able to talk about your fight with cancer?
Yeah, I don't mind. I think I told you this before. It's like it's not something that's on the forefront of my brain. Which is maybe survival mode, but it's definitely an experience that I went through that was pretty crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I got diagnosed with cancer at end of hygiene school. I went to school to be a hygienist. It was a 2-year program. And
was it 2016?
It was 2015.
15?
Yeah. I went through all the treatment in 2016, but I had just moved from Oakland where I was living with Katie Knox, and I was going to hygiene school in Pleasant Hill, and I moved in with my now husband, Jerry, in Sacramento, so I was commuting, and it was the last year of my program. I graduated in May, and I got diagnosed in May, and I was getting married in September. So it was just like a lot uh-huh. all at once. Yeah, it was intense. I had a really, really incredibly rare type of cervical cancer that only 1% of women get. And I had to get a hysterectomy right away and go through 8 months of chemo and radiation and all that. And the type that I had, like the prognosis for it is like 33% survival rate.
33?
Yeah. That was like the hopeful survival rate.
Yeah.
So I just got really lucky and I caught it early and went through all the treatment and yeah. And now it's behind me. I'm, I guess, 4 years out now. I get a scan once a year now. Just to, like, make sure that I'm all good. But, yeah.
I think that we were talking a little bit through emails and stuff while that was going on. And I feel like maybe did you play a show kind of either during that or right after it?
I actually did play another one of those Sleepless Nights shows.
That's what it was.
Every year Eric was doing the Sleepless Nights, it's always been a benefit. And that year, he chose for me to be the benefactor of that show.
Oh.
Because I had to, you know, I had just finished school. I wasn't working yet. I had, like, student debt, you know. So it's all just got thrown at me right away. So it was really helpful to have that. The community really showed up. You know, I didn't do, like, a GoFundMe or anything like that, but that was what I did.
Class and I wanted Eric.
To... I know! I was so honored.
Wow.
But I also wanted to, like, be there and be present and, you know, give, you know, my I guess, talent, you know, as a thank you, you know. And it was really incredible.
I just remember, like all of us, like, damn, she is a badass. Like, this is a strong woman doing this.
Thank you.
I have no idea, but it feels like that was very brave and strong to do all that stuff when you were going through that stuff in your life.
I don't know. I feel like you might surprise yourself. Like, one thing that I did do for sure when I got sick is I was like, okay, you know, I know that this is really risky. This might not turn out well, but you get this sort of like, fuck it, I'm gonna live as much as I can right now. Uh-huh. You know? So I did. I didn't actually ever stop. Like, that's one thing I was like, maybe I should have relaxed and rested a little bit more, but I didn't. I played music throughout the whole time. I did work a little bit. I was working doing hygiene at my current job. They let me work when I was feeling well enough. And I actually started volunteering because something I had always wanted to do was volunteer at an animal shelter.
Oh, yeah.
And I started, and I actually got really lucky because I didn't feel sick the whole time. So I would just go to the shelter and walk shelter dogs. And I would go like 3 to 4 days a week and walk dogs for like 3 or 4 hours at a time. And that was all while I was, you know, on the days that I had chemo, I wouldn't do it. That for me was huge because I needed something to focus on that was outside of myself. So I wouldn't, you know, freak the fuck out.
Absolutely.
So I put a lot of my heart and my energy into that, and it was such a gift. And it's something that I do so passionately now. Like, it's really transformed from me showing up to the shelter and walking dogs to, like, me being part of the, I'm, like, the fundraising committee for this program that I volunteer at the animal shelter. I foster, like, I get people involved. I work out how adoptions cool. for people. Yeah, it's like a humongous part of my life. I swear if I didn't have to have like consistent income, that's what I would deal with all my time.
You have dogs?
Oh, yeah. I have three.
Three.
I have three, yeah. I've got 2 pit bulls and a chihuahua. The chihuahua is 13 years old and I married into her.
Okay.
But I love her so much. She rules the roost. She's the feistiest one of them all. She's about 13 years old. Yeah.
We have one, and we debate how old it is.
Yeah.
Because Cheryl got it from a dog rescue. Mm-hmm. So she's like, it's either like 5, 6, 7, or 8. And I'm like, it's either 8 or 11.
Yeah.
They got the little man's complex.
For sure.
Or a little woman's, whatever.
Absolutely.
First tattoo.
Do I have to? I have so many bad tattoos, my friend. It's so funny. My friend Shannon, who I play music with, I was playing at this wedding in Oakland last weekend, and I had this shirt on, and like you can see a little bit of my tattoo, and she's like booping it. She's like, who's this? Because it's like this face, and I'm like, we don't talk about that. That's behind me. Uh-huh. Terrible pun because it's on my back, but yeah, I have so many. Because I started getting tattooed when I was like 14. First tattoo, my uncle actually, who had just gotten out of prison and had, like, done tattooing in prison, gave me this, like, weird flaming cross on my hip. And I've since got it covered up, but, yeah.
I like that one.
Yeah. I've gotten better taste in tattoos since then, but not that much better. Favorite tattoo, though, is this one right here. Dead Moon.
Oh, yeah. Fuck. Were you at that show, that last one they did at the chapel?
At the chapel? Yeah, I was. Didn't I see you there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've filmed like 2 songs, and it's so moving.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I know. They were so incredible.
It was
incredible.
Like all acoustic, and he was just on his last legs.
Yeah.
And
that's the kind of love everyone should strive for.
Right?
Yeah. That kind of partnership and like doing music like that together and just like raising a family, just always being, you know, true to who you are together in a partnership. So cool.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen the documentary?
No, I need to.
Dude, you have to see it.
Yeah, yeah, we love documentaries too.
Put that on your list. Okay. You'd love it.
Right after the Wu-Tang.
Oh, yeah. I'll put that on my list.
Yeah. 4 episodes. I'm halfway through. Everything must go. If you guys want to buy any skateboard videos, I got a lot of DVDs here
They're all for sale, so just whatever you want, hit me up and we can work out a price.
You got a $5 bin?
Not yet. We got the Storm. That one's going for like $45.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, we're going high dollars first. No. Let's talk about the new project.
Oh, it's called Noel and the Deserters. Mm-hmm. It's a honky-tonk kind of outlaw country band. My husband Jerry is the drummer.
Oh.
My friend Alicia, who I play in Magic Trick with, is the bass player singer. My friend Chris, who I used to play with in Sweet Chariot with, is the guitar player. And his wife and my good friend Tex sings. And then I've got a friend Joe, who lives in Grass Valley, and he plays pedal steel. And we've only played a few shows, but I'm trying to write a record right now.
Nice.
Yeah, I was always super blocked thinking that I wasn't a songwriter, because I was just nervous and shy that I didn't have enough to say or that it had already all been said. Uh-huh. But I sat down with myself one day and I'm like, you know what, if you're ever going to do it, it has to be now, you know, and stop knocking down all the good ideas you have. Yeah, maybe it sounds like something else, but just roll with it.
Sure.
And what's come out lately, I'm actually really proud of and I really like. I just had to get a little deep with myself and realize that I have a lot of great stories to tell. I've lived a full, interesting life and really inspired by landscape and places that I've lived. So I call it Southwestern Honky Tonk because I'm from New Mexico. So.
Yeah. What are some of the song titles?
I wrote one. The first song that I wrote is actually for my stepson, Gio, and it's called Some Men. I wrote a song called Our Love's Got a Cold. Then I wrote a song called Taos, New Mexico, about my little hometown. Yeah, those are the main ones right now. Yeah, I've got like 3 or 4 more.
And have you done any recording?
Yeah, I actually recorded some on Monday, but I got a SoundCloud and I've got like one proper recording. My friend Chris, who plays guitar, he's recording for me. And then I put a couple like rehearsal recordings on there just to, you know, have people see what's up because I'm not quite there with recording yet, but yeah.
Yeah. What's the SoundCloud?
It's called Noel and the Deserters.
Neat. I can't wait to hear it. And then, do you have any shows coming up?
Soon. I want to do something maybe like Old Princeton Landing in Half Moon Bay or like Winter's Tavern, like small little venues like that.
I don't know if it's appropriate or not, but what about that Grass Valley weekend coming up that like, I think Jake from Pins of Light, he's going up there to play with his band Psychic Hit or something. And is that too, like,
not no, I mean, I would love to play Nevada City. Absolutely. I love it up there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know about that. I should check it out. I absolutely love Psychic Hit, by the way. Can I just give a shout out there?
Shout out.
We played a show with them at the chapel, and that was the first time I saw them, and they're so good.
I know.
Talk about, like, incredibly talented women musicians. And of course Jake's great too, and the drummer's incredible, but those girls really rip.
Right.
Yeah. And they don't rip for girls, they just rip in general. They're so good and the nicest people too.
So Jake hit me up and I had him on the podcast and we were talking about it, and he was just so excited about the band. I hadn't heard it yet and I was like, this guy is like, Jake's a really good guitarist, he plays with a lot. And he was like, dude, I had to like ask. I saw this band and I had to ask if I could be in it. It was so good. I was like, wow, this is and then I heard it, I was like, wow.
Yeah.
So yeah, he's stoked. It seems like everything, they've been playing a lot of shows. It's
right up his alley for sure. So you haven't seen them yet?
No,
we should go.
Yeah, I'm
they're going to play soon. Well, I'm actually going to be out of town for their next show, but we should go to one of their shows.
I think they just played at the Parkside.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, Jake. That was really too far from my house.
It's way too far from my house. Can't you just play like a Wednesday night somewhere?
Yeah. Do you consider yourself feminist?
Yeah.
Can we talk about that? I won't maybe get your opinion on things that I'm thinking.
Okay.
Because what I'm trying to do is become, I want to be the number one feminist podcast in all of skateboarding. That's my goal.
Can I just get a high five for that?
Yeah. And I want to know what I need to do and how to sincerely do that. Like, not like this is not a gimmick or anything. It's like My girlfriend has introduced a lot of things to me, and we've had debates, and I've stuck up for things that, you know, whatever, but like, I'm learning a lot. And so I love talking to other girls about things, and we laugh a lot where I have these unwritten rules that no one knows, and everyone's making up on the fly because it's like, wait, how am I supposed to know that? You know? And I was like, let's educate people. Mm-hmm. The gender thing was like a huge one for me. I was like, how am I supposed to know that they don't want to be called he or she? Like, we need this to be like a thing, you know, or whatever. Instead of to argue and critique and fuck.
And judge.
Yeah, all that shit. Like, why can't we educate one another and say, look, this is why.
Well, I think that's amazing that you strive towards that. Thank you. Because it's really important. And I think the best thing that you can do to achieve that is just to keep asking questions.
Right.
Because it's not insulting if you don't know. Assuming, you know, calling someone the wrong thing. Just be like, I don't know. Can you tell me? Because I don't want to insult anybody. I feel like that's the most earnest and thoughtful way of going about it ever. And I think for you, with being the most feminist podcaster in skateboarding, just keep interviewing the ladies. All the ladies you've interviewed have been amazing. You know, they have so much to say.
Here's a simple example. Men make way more money than women in soccer. Mm-hmm. The women won the World Cup.
Mm-hmm.
They're getting so much praise and attention, but they're not getting the financial benefits that the men. But here's the thing from my perspective. Why is it a comparison? Like, it shouldn't be like the men should be penalized. It should be the women should be enhanced.
Absolutely.
Like, if the men make $50,000, the women should make $50,000. You don't want the pendulum to go so far that now the other side is angry.
Yeah,
like,
and resentful. Like,
even the playing field for everyone. No one's angry anymore, but I get it. There's a long history.
Wouldn't that be the solution?
I think so, but I don't think anyone thinks of it like that. I think they think of it as like, my people have been persecuted forever.
Now it's your turn?
Yeah. I don't know. But I'm throwing it out there.
Really, really hard times that we live in. And you're right. Like, everything's very delicate. Elevate people, you know, elevate the people who aren't where they should be, you know, but don't put other people down in the meantime. This is a level playing field, you know.
Right.
Equality, obviously. It's easier said than done. But I think just, we as humans and people in our society, we just have to do everything we can just to raise each other up.
I feel like something happened in the last couple. Well, a lot I know what happened. We know what happened.
We know what happened.
But yeah.
It's Is it okay to say fuck Trump on your podcast?
Of course.
Jesus Christ.
You can say anything here on the podcast. I don't really have these conversations all the time. But I'd like to slowly have smaller. Can you help me a little?
Yeah.
Oh, you did. Cool. All right. Now back to our program.
Yeah, I think it's important to talk about. And I think the fact that you want to know because you want to just be a better person and be better at what you're doing.
Yeah.
I think that's, you're on the right track, my friend.
And that's my segment, Schmitty Gets Deep.
I love it. Keep it going.
I don't know. Switching gears over back to your band.
Mm-hmm.
Was the name influenced by the trio with Eric Shea, the Deserters?
Well, actually, no. But there was a moment when we talked about being the High Deserters as a band name before Sweet Chariot came around.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but I grew up in the High Desert of New Mexico. Oh. And I was thinking about something that could be, you know, I mean, we thought of so many different names for my current band, but I was like, we had to do a little band bio for a show that we were playing.
Oh.
And I was like, I don't know, the so-and-so, the this and that, and the Deserters came, and it just felt right, and it sounded right. So, but I didn't steal it from our previous thought because it's a totally different name, but it sounds similar for sure. Was that an Eric Shea question?
Yeah.
Oh, Eric, I love you. Remember we were in Sweet Chariot together?
Are you your biggest critic?
Absolutely, 100%, yes.
Right.
Yeah, it's always been that way. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm probably the same. So when you're trying to decide on like a song or like in this case the band name, mm-hmm. was the only way that you could come to a definitive answer was to have pressure, like we have to have it done. Like, otherwise, you'd still be going back and forth. Like,
I really function under pressure.
Yeah.
Like, I get a lot done when there's a deadline, for sure, or something needs to happen. Absolutely. Mm. Yeah. But because otherwise, I'll just sit there and be like, oh, I don't know. It's not good enough. You know, I'll just put this down. I'll put it to bed for a little while and come back to it, and I never do.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, yeah.
What was one of the happier times that we all had together as a unit?
God, there were so many.
Yeah.
I mean, they all involved bars or Potrero.
One I really liked was, I think, did we camp at Gus's?
Mm-hmm.
And we went to the Yuba River?
Yeah.
Like that one mm-hmm. spot, that one swim spot they had.
Yeah, right under the bridge there.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I love that. That was a pretty good-sized group of people.
That was a really good-sized group.
And it was maybe my first time to that spot, and yeah. I've been back a bunch since.
Mm-hmm. That was a good time. I think, did we go to Cooper's that night, too, to see?
Yeah.
Who did we see?
I feel like maybe Hightower.
It might have been Hightower.
Because I think also they had the loop at Gus's warehouse, mm-hmm. the full pipe.
Yeah.
The wooden full pipe.
Yep.
And then I think somebody was there and almost died. The board shot around almost over the uh-huh. head. And then we went to Jack in the Box, and I bought $20 worth of tacos, which was 40 tacos.
Oh my God, I remember that. Holy shit, that was crazy. I remember the tacos.
Yeah, and we skid wow. Gus's bowl. He's got in his back.
Yeah, I have an issue with that bowl. I've always wanted to skate it, and I think it's amazing. I remember there had been a few times. I remember one morning I woke up, and I put, like, full pads on. Like, went up, and I was like, I'm gonna drop in, because it's so steep,
yeah,
you know, and I'm not that great,
yeah,
and I was so fucking scared, and I just never did it, so I would just, like, get in the bowl and roll around. That thing is gnarly.
Yeah, yeah. It's tight.
And I've, actually, Gus and his wife, Leora, and my husband, and we all hang out a lot.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so we go up there probably, like, we were just up there a couple weeks ago and spent the night, and we hang out on their property
is
with them.
Is his mom still there?
Yeah, she's still there, Deanna. Wow. She's
yeah.
rad.
Yeah, yeah, good people. Shout out to Gus.
Shout out to Gus and Leora.
Valley. Shout out.
But God, we've had a lot of good times together.
Yeah.
And I really miss Tracy and Halsey.
She's moving to Portland, I guess.
She's moving to Portland. I know, I'm excited, like, she's moving back here, but I mean, it's close enough. It's a lot closer than New York.
Have you seen Katie since she's
Ben. I saw Katie a couple weeks ago, just for one night. She was in Oakland.
Oh, yeah.
She didn't know how long she was going to be there, and she just, like, posted something, and I went over and hung out with her for an hour.
Yeah.
Last summer, Jerry and I went to Stockholm to visit some friends, and then we flew up to Umeå, which is where she lives, so we stayed with her for a day.
Oh, you've been to her place?
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah, it's incredible.
That's a real friend.
She really lives, like, in an incredibly magical place. It's, like, super northern Sweden. It's pretty crazy.
Aww.
Yeah, it's really magical. She's doing so good.
Katie's great.
Beautiful little family. I know.
How can we wrap it up? We're gonna listen to one of your songs for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any other things we should talk about that we haven't talked about?
Well, we should talk about who else you should interview.
That's a good thing. Yeah,
yeah.
Who should I interview?
Well, I think Andreas Trolf would be really fun.
Okay.
Is he on your list?
Yeah. Actually, we do have a list, too.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
I miss that guy. That's someone I don't.
LA, though, because I only can do him in person. That's my rule.
When are you going to do Cardiel?
I don't know, John. When are we doing that one?
Come on, John.
Well, here's the thing I do know. Tommy Guerrero is number 40.
Okay.
Bryce Knights is number 43.
Nice.
I'm number 50. And I hope that Alyssa Steamer and Jason Jesse are the last two, 51 and 52.
What about Rob Welsh?
Rob Welsh is saying 69.
Oh, that's right. I actually stayed over at his and Tori's house the other night, and we talked about the podcast. And I was like, dude, you got to do it.
Yeah.
I think I do remember him saying he'd
Rob
be 69.
Rob Welsh, to his credit, is... besides the executive director, he might be one of my biggest supporters too. He hits me up all the time with constructive criticism. I like that. I love, I don't know if I can say this enough, but I love for people to text me, email me, call me and say, hey, dude, I like this, or I don't like this, or you should do more of this or do less of that. I just want to make these better. And when people are stoked on it, I'm stoked, especially when they're my friends. So that's how I do that one.
Hell yeah.
There's some dream ones that would be like me and Farmer talked about. Bill Murray would be, I think, my ultimate.
Jesus.
Like, shut it down.
I know. I remember that episode, actually. Yeah. And I was like, that's a pretty good dream goal.
That's the high one. I think I'm going to interview the guitarist for Morrissey when Morrissey plays here. Because awesome. He's friends with Jesse Tobias. He's friends with Tony, and kind of I've become friends with him through Tony. Maybe Doug Marsh from Built to Spill said he was going to do one.
Rad.
This is not just for skateboarding by any means. Shannon, if she wants to, I'm down.
Oh, like, I'll ask her.
Yeah.
I'm sure she'd love to. Well, yeah. I don't want to say that. She's shy like me too, but she might want to.
Yeah. I love doing them on the road. Like when I go somewhere, I'm like, who do I know there? Okay, this is going to be fun doing one. Like I did 2 in Dallas and 2 in Austin. That's just so cool. It's fun doing it in other people's, and like getting to know their, like, what's your favorite swim hole out here or whatever.
Oh man, Barton Springs, right? Yeah, did you go?
Yeah,
epic.
All day. Oh, it was the best. Yeah. It was the only time, I've only been there one other time where it wasn't South by Southwest.
Mm-hmm.
Like I go every year for that through work, but not having all that craziness. I love Austin so much.
It's such a great city.
It's one of the best.
It really doesn't feel like Texas.
Yeah.
It's incredible. Didn't you guys do a chili bowl there?
Yeah.
Wow. I remember that year. I was bummed that I couldn't go.
It was maybe the best. It was, I'm going to say for sure, it was the best one.
That makes me sad that I missed it, but I'm glad it happened. Do you think it'll ever come back?
I don't think so, because I think, well, it could come back if it was to be elsewhere, but... Or maybe different politics. But I think right now, San Francisco especially is way too expensive for their permits and all that.
Yeah, that's what I remember Toad saying that.
And then Toad just had so many problems with like fights and just all this other weird stuff that was out of his control that was a bummer to him. And also, he had to pay money out of his own pocket. And it was just like, doing all this for just the love of it. And then on top of it, I'm getting fined and like... penalized, and it was just like, I think it just was too much.
Yeah.
I wish we could just go back to Crocker and do it like under the radar style.
Mm-hmm. I went to the first one at Potrero. I never went to a Crocker one. Actually, Salmon made me skate in the first Potrero chili bowl. Yes. The coach.
Coach you.
Yeah. I had only been skating for like 5 months or something, and he's like, we need more girls, get in there. And I was like, I don't want to, I'm so scared, but I did it. And I was like, okay, well, you know, I didn't expect to win, but I did it. It was fun.
I miss those. Yeah,
those were the best. I would just listen to the interview you did with Lizzie, and she was talking about the chili bowl.
It's her favorite park is Potrero.
It's my favorite park too.
Yeah,
I don't know what there's something about that bowl.
Uh-huh. It's fun.
Yeah,
I mean, it's our local, too. That makes it easy to like.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, what song should we listen to on the way out of here?
How about we listen to Sun Men?
Okay. Please look for Noelle out there. She's going to be playing shows. You definitely got to come out and support, because Toad and I will be front row. And you can high five us. What better thing to come out and see Noelle and high five us?
Do it.
So this song is by her new band, and it's called
Some Men.
Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you, Schmitty. My pleasure.
I love you too. Great catching up.
You too.
Cheers. Thank you all for listening. Talk to you next week.
actually really incredible. You get to hang out with Schmitty and talk about the good old days and all the cool shit you're doing and catch up with him and all the cool shit he's doing. And he's really easy to talk to. Got a big old smile on his face. You feel right at home.
So return my messages.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Talkin' Schmidt. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes, Anchor, Spotify, or anywhere you get your podcasts. When you subscribe, you'll get notifications every Tuesday of new episodes the minute they become available. Also, please leave reviews and a 5-star rating. It's the best way to help the show grow up them charts. All the episodes will always remain free to my listeners, but if you'd like to help support the show, you can do so at our website, TalkinSchmidt.com, where you can pick up some merchandise like stickers, beanies, hats, possibly even a t-shirt. The website has an entire archive of the episodes with extra photos and sometimes even video. If you have personal pics of our Talkin' Schmidt guests, please send them to me at epicallytrife@yahoo.com, and maybe your photo will end up on the site, or better yet, on Talkin' Schmidt's Instagram account. All interviews are conducted, edited, and produced by me, Schmitty. The intro music is Mary's Cross by the band Nature, and a special shout out goes to my executive director, Cheryl Camisa.
Shout out.
Love it!
Until next week, this is Talkin' Schmidt, where the Rolodex is deep, but the conversation is deeper.
Talkin' Schmidt, Talkin' Schmidt, Talkin' Schmidt.